askew whether certain concepts are even valid, because there are some, I know you know, and you've alluded to knowing that some of the things in the manuals just...
Well, those are, they can't all be valid, because they contradict each other.
Right. So, in just broad generalities, number one is the concept of using APV as defined in the original manual, in other words, finding the APV and then using that as a determinant for whether a horse is really clearly head and shoulders above the field or at least several of the horses. Is that a valid concept?
Sure.
Okay. And how the Sargent programs compute that is valid.
I don't always use it, but it's strictly an advisory thing. It doesn't affect the program. All it does is give you a percentage.
Right. And if one horse is head and shoulders above, you know, based on what Howard says, you know, what guidelines
to use. What you want to do is don't take anything that Howard says, and as I say, is gospel. Find out what's happening in your track.
Okay.
It's a pretty reliable indicator in certain instances. In climbing ranks, it's reliable. In other ranks, it's not.
Okay.
Among young, improving 3-year-olds moving through their condition, you'll see lots of very low APV horses because they're not seeing like, you know, like they've done one or two, one, six races, they're going bang, bang, bang. Eight, some, one, two, three, six. You have to temper that with a little judgment.
Okay.
It's a good guideline. Okay. It's a good guideline.
Okay. Then, is the concept of line score still considered valid?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Okay. What Howard...
I would guess not. I kind of think yes, I do remember. That's where a 1-3-1.
Right.
I think, yeah, so.
Don't do that. Forget that entirely?
Well, I'm not saying forget that entirely, but it's not the way that better players are using.
Fine. CompuGraph?
That's only if you hold on to someone.
And the reason I'm raising the question is because you know, Howard went through this whole lengthy justification for saying, you know, maybe it should be 5 for the first fraction, 10 for the second call or second fraction, and then 5 again for the third. So
Bob Purdy wrote the IBM program. He's an excellent handicapper as well as a player. And he apparently feels that my programs are also and that's where I just transferred it along. If you want to argue with it, talk to the doc or talk to Bob. I don't know.
It's not a matter of argument at all.
I don't worry about it. Using that 10 beat length, it's
fine. But, you know, I'm not looking for trouble.
Vary it more with alternate gear, I think.
I see. Okay, well, those were the basic questions. Then the place that I'm having the most difficulty, maybe one of the quick questions I'm thinking of. I understand the reason for not playing a lot of the main races, you know, based on the fact that you end up with just too many unknowns. But in terms of determining what the track's doing, those races are, in my mind, are still valid for that. In other words, finding out where
not. I would say not, because the main tend to sort of get out in front. And I don't use them. That's a mistake that I never use.
Okay, so anytime you're trying to
try it. Again, don't let my interpretation of reality shape yours. You have to make that. If you were finding your main races are predictive, put them in. No rules. The only answer is try it and see. I personally have found that they tend to run. They don't run to the energy pattern that the other horses will run. They tend not to.
Okay.
Give it a try. Take a look and see how they're running. If they think they're predicting, try both and see if it helps or hurts you.
Okay. Then the place I'm just starting to have real fits over. Are the adjustments.
Well, that's a... it's a very tough subject, and I learned how to do it. Now, you're using strictly phase three.
Right.
Okay. I learned how to do those from Rona. And it took him 8 hours. He was about 9 hours. And this was in January. And as far as I know, I'm the only one left. If you're betting, Tom now provides the variance. If you're playing, that'd be a good one. But that will never teach you how to make it yourself. Making a variance is a difficult skill, and it's not something
what I did was I went to LA for the seminar, okay, and I planned to go up to Northern California and do some camping and stuff, and then I was going to come back to Vegas via Reno, and you know, when he announced this session, I said, well, I really should miss it, so I did go up. Shot back down through L.A. and across rather than...
Well, I was
going
to say, he's going to have another one that we can fail. I know that we've spent a lot of time.
When is that going to be? Doing the variants is something that...
It's a big project. For the non, there's a lot of different ways to do it. I can kind of try to explain.
Let me tell you what I understand at this point, and, you know, I understand what I saw... I've seen three different hints of what's supposed to be done. I don't even know which one's right. There's a variant program on my IBM disk, okay? And there's a variant program on the, you know, it comes with a little Sharp program. No, they're not. And, although they're the closest. And then there's one in the book, which is, as far as I can tell, from the other two. In the one in the Sharp, well, I don't know which is which, one program asks for beam lengths. Okay?
Oh, okay. They both probably should have. Well, if they don't ask for beam lengths, you're getting only paper. Yeah, where did you get the Sharp from?
The Sharp I got from... I got it from Howard. I think I got it at the session, the Saturday session.
The reason being, it sounds like a lot of inversion. Sure. You have what the book is one?
The Sharp?
Yeah.
I don't know which one. I've got the one that has got, what, 10K or something? Well, it gives me beam lengths for figuring out phase, you know, for phase of the race and stuff.
Right, with the variant program.
I think that's where it's lacking. I think.
Right. I'm pretty sure I know.
Well, but then I do have beam lengths on the IBM. Okay,
yeah,
so that'll get me through.
Yeah.
And I could probably just add. We could probably figure out how to add it to.
Okay, well, let's just add it to that one. They were both. Well, I don't know. If you like, I don't.
The Sharp program I have is written by Bob Lee.
Well, because I'm using more or less than the official. Yeah, well, there's probably.
That the basic...
Well, does it give you the same number as the IBM?
Yeah.
It's 0-0 to the IBM.
I'll do that to confirm, but I think I have done a comparison between the two, and I think they both come up the same.
Uh-huh.
So, in terms of phase three, I think I'm really okay in that respect. And,
well,
and the IBM was written by Purdy.
Objective and daily variance, which are also important, not about the variance, others to bring them up or down. I don't know if you follow, because people are capable of holding the phone.
We have five horses, and we end up with five numbers somewhere in the mid to low 50s.
Right. And all you do is pick one and make that zero, and it adds a kind of everything to the other number.
The one that you selected to be zero. Okay, that I understand.
Okay. Now, the other thing we need to do is adjust the class, and we're going to have to figure out whatever track you're playing the class about that. And class generally, at least in Southern California, which is recommended to play, is about 0.15 per level.
We're talking about a claimer that's, let's say, 25,000 is going up to whatever the next step is, 32?
Yeah, 32.
Okay.
Yeah, in other words, you want to bring in the zero and then you give another minus 0.15.
Okay. How do you know, what are in Howard's book, he's got a chart, you know, for the non-winners of 1, 2, and 3. I understand that in terms of levels. But when you've got an allowance condition that's not predicated on numbers of wins, but dollars, huh?
Yes, you can. There's not that many classes by allowances.
Okay. Thing that you told me was I understand this class adjustment as you just explained it. Okay. The preceding adjustment, that was a variant adjustment?
Call it a variant. What you do is you add those two numbers together and put them in the open adjustment.
Okay. Third fraction though for three or four years? I see. And so the fact that you'll have a 3-year-old horse running against 4-year-old horses doesn't matter.
So,
track to track, boils down to about point, despite everything else that's in there, track to track boils down to about 0.15 per track level. And class...
That's rough and ready.
Right.
But it works.
Okay. And class is the same.
It's about the same. Some of them are 0.13, some will be 0.16 or 0.17, but, I mean, and they... Bob Purdy ran an enormous number of races. They find out they're very consistent. They're very strict about 0.13 and 0.17. You know, 0.02 of a beat blank is just not going to change your race.
So if a horse is going up in a track, you have to add 0.15. If the track
is going up in a track, you can put your feet figure in 2 seconds. If it goes up, you subtract. If it goes down,
okay. I understand those two. I guess the place I'm then just a little bit fuzzy. That first one that you talked about,
you run all your horses without beat blanks through the variant program.
Okay.
You get a number for each horse.
Right.
And it'll be...
Now, this is based on their pace lines.
This is based on their pace lines.
Doesn't matter
without
what,
beat length.
Without beat length. It doesn't matter what track at this point that these pace lines came from.
Now, let's just assume for hypothetical that one of them has a 54, one of them has a 54.5, one of them has a 55.0, and just look at three horses.
Okay.
Pick the one in the middle, a 54.5, and call it 0.
Okay.
54 gets a plus 0.50 to bring it up to 55 gets a minus 0.50, bring it down to 55.
Okay.
So what you've done is equalize all three of these races. Races, not necessarily how the horses perform, but the races to a constant.
Okay.
Now you've got to be careful because it penalizes good horses and builds up lousy horses. So you've got to be real careful picking the contenders. Others, you gotta watch out because this can't be an obstruction. After you've done that, you then add in any class adjustment, any positive or negative, and you take the resulting number and put it in the open adjustment.
You'd also take the track to track and put it at
the heart of the class. Class of the horse, class of the grade, class of the track, whatever. All go in that one open adjustment.
Okay. So in terms of adjustments, those are the three adjustments you make. But then, where does the term variance come in?
That is a variance. The word adjustment, the word variance. You made a track variance. Going to run indoors on that surface. If they did, you wouldn't need track variance. Track varies, so variance. What you've done is you've equalized each one of these races. Give it a try.
Well, I guess I'm just sitting here saying it just seems a lot simpler than I thought it was. And
it really isn't all on top. As I was saying, I have played this way somewhat. I tend to do a little bit more, but I don't know for a while. But I did play this way for a long time, and got difficult to come. As I said, I know a lot of people who play exactly the same thing in Las Vegas. They don't care. Thank you.
What is the variant that you said he supplied me? What's the significant difference?
The color of the objective is taken at about 3 steps.
Putting in any number for this APV? Are we using any?
You can use it as a device for light intensity, not use it.
But don't use it as an actual adjustment to add in anywhere.
But I'm going to tell you that I don't.
Fine. That's, you know,
all I can do is say that.
Dick, I understand.
And the program,
you know,
that Dr. Sartre provides.
Okay. Well, there was language in the manuals that indicated in certain cases.
Well, I think they looked at that, but I know how he plays now.
Okay.
He does put in.
Okay, well, I mean, you are relatively, you've been doing this now for about 5 or 6 months, and I know that you related some of your frustration about, you know, trying to sort through some of this stuff, so I know you can appreciate where I am on this.
Oh, yeah.
So what you've done in essence this evening is really helped me separate the wheat from the chaff, I guess. Unfortunately, I had recorded a fair amount of both sessions, and some turkey stole my recorder, and I happen to have a couple of those tapes with it. A lot of the explanations that were given kind of went up in smoke. Okay, well, I will then limit what I'm doing to the three adjustments, put them on the third fraction, and open adjustment. I was thinking of the three fractions, where that open adjustment ends up going on to three fractions.
And if you're, as I say, if you can make it, I would definitely try to attempt to get a position, because I was there at the two that they had in May, and they spent a lot of time on it.
Okay.
And don't forget, Dr. Smart, when he started this, did not make any adjustments. He managed to get into the 65% dial range. Zero. They didn't have it. So it's possible. He talks about his 63% work percentage. That's not a joke.
Okay.
I don't feel that these are something critical. But you generally start to get people out without making it.
Well, I think your advice is planning on starting to wager this weekend, probably, after I work through, you know, the results of the conversation and go back over some of my records.
Go back over and see if it's helping you, if it's hurting you, don't do
it. Well, it can't. You know, I got into such a morass trying to figure out, A, should I be using this adjustment or not, or what's really valid. I didn't want to waste a lot of time.
If you want to learn them, this is the way. If you want to just purchase them and use them, the nice thing about Tom's variant is that it makes pace lines look a lot less good. It adjusts all of them, theoretically, to the pace line. Any line that reflects current condition, of course. So that does make it a little easier to play that way, but I think most people want to learn to be self-sufficient. There are always those who just want to make
it. Well, the reason I did call a couple of weeks ago, your wife left a message, I should have called me collect. Maybe it isn't, but, you know, I really have worked 6 weeks or whatever it's been on this myself, you know, to try and be self-sufficient. I think, you know, considering the contradictions, so on and so forth, I think I've done pretty well. And most of it really does make a pretty good chunk of sense. Probably to your advantage looking back at it, but that's all I had to work with.
Yeah, I understand, and so I learned one way of doing it, and that's the way I just tried to describe to you.
Okay.
And I just sort of plugged along with that, and then got better and better at making variants. And that's how I've been playing.
Okay.
And also, I'm writing a book with Tom, and so he said, well, look, why don't I just make another? And so, since I've had his, I've gotten creative and I don't do my own anymore. And they really produce very well. And so I've been much more interested in picking lines. To me, that's where the real mastery of this thing comes.
Okay, well, I...
Because you'll find that playing this way is very similar to all.
What, just out of curiosity, in the 6 weeks or whatever that have transpired since we were all last together, has there been anything that in particular has made a significant difference in your baseline selection? I mean, I bought Howard's tape on baseline selection and read
it
through.
It's one of the things you just got to do because do it a lot. I never had too much problem with it because I've been doing it for a couple of years. And I did it on other programs before I introduced it and such. And it, I never found it that difficult. What you just want is the pace line that you think best represents what the horse is today. Just keep that in mind. Representative of what it is today is all you need to know. 90% of the time, that's the last race. But you want to look, and if you think that last race, you look down and you see the horses always in first or second at the first call, and the last burn. Sometimes the horse did eat in the deep right hand lane and he hurt himself and he got thrown back for 6 months. But, you know,
sure.
Assuming you've got a competent trainer and the horse looks good, looks competitive, and it's just sort of an instinct. Look at all 10 pace lines. I don't know, if you're into tapes, because you were mentioning them, Howard does have a 4-hour seminar on tape.
Oh, I've got that. And I've gone through it, and I've, you know...
I know, they're not real specific, and a lot of people want...
Well, I found it, well, considering what I had to work with prior to that, I found it extremely enlightening. I've again, over this past 6 weeks, as part of the work I've done, I've outlined an awful lot of things, including the suggestions on that tape, Tom Brohammer's suggestions on not eliminating contenders to make sure you're keeping everyone in, all the horses in initially that you possibly can. I've gotten everything down to the nuts and bolts that I can use it systematically, but I just really was, you know, chasing my tail on these adjustments. I just could not seem to resolve the conflicts I was getting in the manual.
I don't know if I've resolved them or just did an end round, around them, because that variant program is one that's operating at the Tom Brohammer developed. It's based on, he said that Howard sort of tossed it in one little obscure corner of one of the manuals. They tried it and it worked great. And this is a very strong method of play. And using this method of play, an expert like Bob Brady or something can get into the feathers.
I really do appreciate your time.
No problem.
I hope you get another 11 out of 14 next time you get out of it.
Yeah, well, we'll give it a try. Okay, we'll be talking to you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye now.